Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message.
I love that line in that video. It's the very first thing you see. When God asks you to move, what will you do? Will you move? It's a powerful question, really. I mean, honestly, if you'll let it be, right? I mean, we can gloss over the question and just say, oh, that's nice. But if we stop and think about it for a second, I think it has the power to change the trajectory of your spiritual life, of your life in general. It's a question all of us need to ask. And notice the question is, when God asks you to move, will you move? It's not if God asks you to move, will you move? It's when. See, that's coming. God's going to ask you to move. The question is, will you? And I know what you're wondering. I mean, what kind of movement are you talking about, Anthony? It's all well and good to just say God's going to ask you to move. But what do you mean? Like, do you mean God's going to say to me, pick up everything you own, pack it in, move somewhere else? You're saying, because if that's the case, I want to put my requests in now. Like, not Chatham. Please not Chatham. Anywhere but the armpit of Ontario. God, ask me to go anywhere else. Hawaii, for crying out loud. I'll go there in a heartbeat, right? I mean, but just not there. I have to apologize because I know some of you are from Chatham. But notice you're here. I mean, I rest my case. Let's just put it out there, right? But is that the movement I'm talking about? I mean, really, is that what I'm saying God's going to ask you to do? Well, maybe. I mean, that's possible. But what I'm talking about is actually a movement of the heart. And that's a harder movement. I'm talking about moving from indifference to compassion. I'm talking about moving towards love. When God asks you to move, will you move? See, the question takes on a whole different light when you ask it that way. It's an important question because it's not a question of if, it's a question of when. And so we're going to entertain this four-week series from the book of Jonah, and it's all about this. It's all about the movement. It's all about the movement from indifference to compassion. And I want to set up the book well because, you know, we're going to spend a month in it. So I want to tell everybody what's going on, why it exists, that sort of thing. And I want to do this in a quicker fashion than I might normally. But I want to orient you to this. This is what we call a Bible. This is what we teach out of here at Forest City North Church. It sounds rudimentary, but this is a Bible. We believe God speaks through this. And in this Bible are 66 individual books. And I remember that because that's Mario Lemieux's number. Intensely spiritual, but that's why I remember it. There are 66 books in this Bible, and we believe through all 66 God speaks, and they're divided into two major sections. So you'll see one section, and it's over half of the Bible, but it's called the Old Testament, and then there's another section that has so many books in it, and it's called the New Testament. And this all hinges on the person of Jesus. See, the Old Testament is kind of everything prior to Jesus' birth, and then the New Testament picks up when Jesus is born and moves through the rest of history. And this is how we divide them. They hinge on the life of Jesus. And we believe that Jesus, and well, God, and Jesus is God, but that he speaks through these words. And so the book of Jonah itself is part of your Old Testament. So think before Jesus' birth. It's actually, scholars would say, anywhere from 700 to 800 years before Jesus is born. So this is like quite a ways before that. And the story itself, I'll give you a brief synopsis, but it's a bizarre story. Like, it's honestly, like, it's almost messed up with what's going on in it. Like, you have to realize this. See, it starts with God speaking, and he speaks to a man, and this man responds by getting on a boat. And he goes on a journey. He actually packs up and goes. And so he goes on a boat, and we find that he gets into this big storm, and turns out he's the cause of the storm. He gets thrown overboard to, you know, just kind of calm things down and make sure everybody's okay. And then you think just when he's about to sink to the depths of the ocean, depths of the sea, that he's going to die, this fish comes along. Get it? A fish comes along and swallows him up. You tell me how that one works. I mean, really, right? And then we're told that he actually not only gets swallowed by the fish, but he survives in the belly of the fish. But not just like for a little bit, like 3 days and nights. Don't fish digest things? I mean, really, right? Like, this is a strange story. And then literally, the word is vomit. The fish vomits Jonah up onto the beach. Like, you can't make this stuff up. I'm not making it up. Go and read the book. I mean, you'll find out. And then Jonah goes to this big city. It's called Nineveh. And he preaches the absolute worst sermon. Absolute worst. It's 8 words. 8 words. If I preached that, I'd be fired. But this is what he does. He preaches that sermon, and then a miracle happens. And then he decides, you know what, I'm going to go and sit back and reflect on this. And we're told that this vine grows up, and he's really happy about it. The vine shrivels up and dies, and then he gets mad with God. The guy who's, you know, God speaks to him, and at the end, he speaks to God, and he says, why did you do this? I'd rather be dead than have this happen. How's that for spicy? The book just ends, and that's it. It ends basically with Jonah just being really ticked with God and saying, I wish I was dead. General Hospital, eat your heart out. I mean, really, you can't make it up. And it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. And maybe that tells you more about me than it does about the Bible. But I'm thrilled that we get to entertain this book. See, because it raises, one of the reasons I really like it is because it asks, or it causes us to ask a lot of serious questions, like that fish part. I mean, there's no fish big enough to swallow a man. At least that's what we're told, right? And how on earth do you survive for 3 days in the belly of the fish? Like, this just doesn't make sense. And so you raise the question and you say, listen, if this is what the Bible says, that doesn't square with reality, does it? So can I actually trust the Bible? Can I trust that it's God's word if it doesn't seem to square with what I experience around me? And those are legitimate questions, but I'm going to put it out there. I think they're poor questions. I think it sidetracks us. I think it gets us thinking about the wrong thing. I think we need to ask better questions than that. And so I want to make a pact with all of you here this morning. And those of you on Facebook Live, I want to make the same pact. Maybe you can type it in that you actually agree with this. But I want to ask better questions for the next 4 weeks. Better questions that I think help us understand God, help us understand ourselves, and help us understand how we're going to move from indifference to compassion. See, I think we need to approach the book of Jonah in all of its bizarreness with a question like, why is this in the Bible? What purpose does it serve? Is there something incredibly unique about Jonah that we need to pay attention to? And to that last question, I actually have an answer for you. There's something so incredibly unique about Jonah, but you don't actually understand that if you don't ask the better question. You see, in the Bible, there are these groups of people, or this group of people. It's not really groups, but they're called prophets. And their job is to take messages from God and give them to people. Whoever he tells them, you know, whoever God says, give this message to. And now you'll find all of the prophets receive this message, and most of them are told, go to the king of Israel, tell him this message. Go to the people of Israel, tell them this message. This is what I want them to know, but not Jonah. See, Jonah actually receives this message from God, and God says, go and take it to somebody else. He says, I don't want you staying put in Israel. I want you to go to another people group, and I want you to tell them this message. I mean, think about that. The only prophet in the Bible told, go somewhere else and give them a message from me. That's something interesting. This is why I think we need to ask better questions instead of, what about that fish? Ask that question, but try and ask a better one. Try to ask something that means something much deeper. And I think if we do that, and if we continue to do that for the next 4 weeks, we'll be able to come to know God, understand God, love God, and move in tandem with God far better than we ever could before. And so can we agree to that? I see a few heads nodding. Good. I hope all of us can agree to that. Or if we don't now, that by the end of our time together, we will. Because I think God's got something incredible in store for each and every one of us. And so like I've said, kind of throughout, you know, the start and the beginning of the service, the book of Jonah is all about one thing. One thing. If you boil it all down to one thing, it's about the word compassion. It really is. And if you don't ask the better questions, you don't come to that conclusion. But I'm going to submit to you this morning that it is all about the compassion of God for all people. That's what the book of Jonah is about, plain and simple. It's the compassion of God for anyone and everyone. And I want you to walk away with at least that this morning. If you don't remember anything else, remember that God has compassion for every single human being. And the question is, what's compassion? And I've defined it just simply this way. Compassion is the rare ability to move into a messy situation and provide genuine love and care for everyone involved. It's a rare ability. It's getting up and moving, and it's making sure everybody in that messy situation knows that they are loved and cared for by somebody. That's what compassion is all about. And I hope you understand what's at stake with this definition, because if the book of Jonah is all about compassion, that means it reflects the heartbeat of God, and it's to move into mess after mess after mess. It's to move into your mess. It's to move into my mess and remind us that we are loved, that we are cared for. And it's that we're supposed to go and do the same thing. That's the message of Jonah in a nutshell. That is exactly where we are traveling the next 4 weeks. And my hope is that today, that March 4th, 2018, might mark a transition point for some of us where we realize that indifference can't last, that compassion has to rise up, that God loves us. I wondered what would happen if today marked a change in our church. Not that we need to change big time or in any crazy fashion, but what if we changed and the generosity, the love and compassion of God spilled out from us that everyone took notice? What if because of this series, what if it's possible that all of us would walk out of here and not only would the message ring true with us that God loves us, but that we would be ambassadors of that message in this city, in this region, in this nation, and in this world? What would happen then if we took hold of it and said, inaction is not an option, I need to stand and move? What would happen then? See, I think it's possible too that this series might remind us that there are people who do not have people. That there are people who do not have people walking alongside them. What are we supposed to do about that? It's a question that I hope this series answers. But think about that. There are some people who don't have people. And for some of us, it might be true that today and that this series, for the very first time, we might come to understand that God actually loves us. And my friends, that changes everything. If that is true, everything absolutely changes. So I am thrilled for what we are going to do. And it is my prayer that God would be pleased to move within us and that we would be pleased to move with him and that we would go to a place where the love and grace of God spills out, where it is overflowing, and that people would rub shoulders with us and experience that. And I think it can start today. If you ask the question, when God asks me to move, will I move? And so with all of that said, I want to get into Jonah. I want to get into the book of Jonah. And it's really like just kind of one big conversation that I want to have with you. It's simply the call to move. It's the call to move. I've got three little sub-questions in there that I want to answer, and we'll flow through it kind of in that fashion. But really, Jonah starts off with a call to action. It's all about movement. And I think this is so important for us to grasp, because a lot of us, I think, myself included, would think that we're compassionate people, right? I mean, I don't really harbor any ill will towards most people. There might be one or two. Just confession time here. You can do with that what you like. But really, I mean, a lot of us think we're compassionate, right? I mean, it's not hard to think it. Oh, you know, I wish it wasn't like that for them, or I hope they're doing okay, or that sort of thing. But that's kind of where it ends, right? But compassion, you see, is an action. It's not simply a description of a state of mind. It's a description of movement. It's a description of getting up, going somewhere, and doing something about it. It involves someone, too, that's not just yourself. It's not just yourself. See, I think compassion is nothing short of a miracle in a culture that prides itself on self-absorption. See, compassion requires action, and it starts with a call. The question is, who's calling and who's responding? And so I want to open up to Jonah chapter 1, very first verse. And it says this. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Full stop. Are you astounded by this? My guess is no. I wasn't right away either. It's sort of, it's like it's one of those verses that you just kind of gloss over. And you say, well, what did he say? What happened? I think it's because of how we read the verse. Like, you know how I just read it there? It's sort of underwhelming. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Okay, big deal. What next? But what if you changed how you read it? What if it's almost like, right now, the word of the Lord, get that, the word of the Lord actually came to somebody, and he was a flesh and blood human. He had a name and he had a father. Does that change how you hear the verse? Does it change it at all? I mean, think about this. It's like God just decided, you know what? I'm going to get up and do something. Like, this is setting up an epic story right here. It's like, it's sort of like that pregnant pause before you drop some big news on somebody. You're like, do I tell them? Don't I tell them? What it's like God's got held breath. And there it comes. It's like the relief of tension that's happening. It's like God hasn't spoken in a while, and now he wants to speak. And when God wants to speak, something's going to happen. Okay, that's what happens in the Bible. When you see these words, now the word of the Lord came, think something epic is about to go down. I stole that word, by the way, epic. The question is, why now, right? Like, why now? What's going to come? And listen, when God moves, something's going to happen. And here's the rub, you might be caught up in it. Did you ever think about that? You might be caught up in what God's about to do. I mean, we're told in the Bible right here that it's Jonah. Jonah, a real flesh and blood person. I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, it's kind of about God and the people of Israel. We kind of reduce it to that, and that's what it's about. But think about that. In the whole nation of Israel, there are thousands of people to pick from, and God chooses Jonah. The nation of Canada, there are what, 37 million people? God might choose you. When he does, what will you do? Ask the question, what will you do? I mean, how radical is it that God actually spoke? Are you amazed by this? God spoke. And it's not just that God spoke, it's that somebody heard him. Somebody actually heard what he had to say. I mean, when's the last time you heard from God? I'll put it out there. Have you ever heard God speak? Seriously. Have you ever heard God speak? Sometimes I wonder if God still speaks. Sometimes I would bet many of you wonder, does God still speak? Because my guess is that while there are some of us who say, I hear from God all the time, there are others of us who say, I don't think I've ever heard from God. And I'm not sure if he's angry. I'm not sure if he just doesn't like me, but I don't know what's going on, and it freaks me out. God moved in Bible land. God moved back before. Why not now? Why not me? I know this is a question because it's a question I face a lot when I am in conversation with people. People from all over, people here, people outside of here that I rub shoulders with, ask the question, listen, I don't know that God speaks. I don't know that I've ever heard God speak. And it's not really that question or that statement that they say, but the question they ask is, what's God's will for my life? And it's couched in that sort of phrasing where it's like basically saying, I don't know that God's saying anything, and I certainly don't know what he wants for me. How about you help me figure it out? Why don't you tell me what God wants? And I always respond in the same way. It's sort of like a hit you square between the eyes kind of response. I say, well, how do you know God has a plan for you? Imagine a pastor saying that. It's like this jolt. You can see it. It's actual physical jolt. Oh, come again? So yeah, what do you mean God has a plan for you? The response is always the same too. I'm kind of sick and it's a little bit humorous. But it's like, whoa. You know, I don't know. I don't know. I hear other Christians say it. That's what I hear go on. People say God has a plan. You know, isn't there that verse in whatever book it is? I think it's Jeremiah 29, by the way. It's, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to, you know, give you a future and a hope, not to harm you. Those sorts of things go on in it, right? And they say, well, that's where it says God has a plan. I say, yeah, well, that was to Israel. Are you sure it's to you? Oh, man. I don't know. I don't know. And they said, well, why don't you tell me? I said, why don't you open up the Bible? This is potent, friends. This is God's word. If you're curious if God's speaking to you today, open this up. We call it his word for a reason. It's because he's speaking to us. And all of a sudden, people relax in those conversations too. So you want to know what God has for you? Take a look in this book. Open it up. Insert your name instead of Jonah's. I mean, read it out. Now the word of the Lord came to Anthony, and he said. I mean, that's a calling. That is God speaking. He spoke to Jonah, I mean, nearly 3,000 years ago, and when God moves, something happens. The question is, what's he going to call me to? If it's not Chatham, where am I going? Okay. Leads me to the second conversation. That's just who God's going to call. He might not speak directly in some audible voice like we think, but you want to know God's will? Open this book up and read it. You're going to find out what he hopes for you, what he desires for you. And you want to know God's will right now? This, I think, is the absolute best image of what God desires from each and every single one of us. Jonah 1 reads like this. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and he said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. That's your call. That's your call. Get up. Go and bring the love of Jesus into these people's lives. Anybody and everybody. Now, I know what you're saying. You read that verse and you say, listen, that sounds like Jonah was asked to go preach hellfire and brimstone, like call out your evil. And this is where we need to ask better questions. What's really going on here? Is it really like judgment and all this sort of stuff? And do I have to do that if that's my call? Am I in charge of saying, hey, listen, so there's some evil you're doing, and I got to let you know God thinks that. Like, is that what I'm saying? No, because if we ask better questions, we arrive at the conclusion that this is the only prophet in the whole Old Testament who's supposed to go to somebody else and tell them about God. The only prophet who's told to do that. We ask better questions. See, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria. They say the great city. It said that you would take 3 days and you could wind your way through the entire city and you would still not have seen it all. Like, this is how big it was. Think superpower. Like, Assyria could take on anybody and they could win. They would recklessly move in and reduce cities to rubble and cart its people away, and they would make them pay. They worshipped idols. They didn't worship God like the Israelites did. This was the antithesis to Israel. This was everything terrible that was going on. And God said, get up and go tell them about me. Why? Because I care about them. I am not just for the people of Israel. Today, I am not just for the church and the people who sit there on Sunday mornings. I am for everybody who is not here already. That's how I can sit here and say, that's what Jonah's all about. That's why your call is simply get up, go, and love somebody like God would love them. This is what it's all about. This is exactly what the book of Jonah is all about. Don't just think compassionately. Don't just think you're doing somebody a nice favor. Think that you are bringing the message of God, the hope of God, into that messy situation, because Nineveh was a great big mess. I mean, God looked down and it was just like, this is not what I intended for any of this. Would you go and just remind them that I am here for them? Would you do that? It's the execution where we have a hard time, but that's the part we really need. We struggle with the execution, but it's what we need. And I know this because of what comes next in Jonah. This is really just question number three. It's the how, right? Like, how will you respond when God calls? What will you do? I know what Jonah did. Some of you are familiar with what Jonah did. But it says this in verse 3, right after God says, get up, go, and tell these people about me. It says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Well, that's not Nineveh. In the Hebrew, it's actually kind of funny because it's sort of this poetic thing, and there's three words, and it's like, get up, go, preach. That's what God says. So Jonah gets up, he goes, and he hops on a boat, right? Like, he misses the execution part. Like, it's actually quite humorous, only to a Hebrew nerd, but it's quite funny. And he just says, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Like, he thought he could get away from it. Just so you're clear, Tarshish was in, like, modern-day Spain. Nineveh was to the east, Tarshish was to the west. Like, this guy literally thought he was going to get away from God. And it says he just went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into the ship and to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He's reminding us, away from God, away from God, away from God, right? God says, get up, go tell people about me. And Jonah's response is, get up and I'm gone. And I think sometimes that's our response. It's our Chatham moment. It's our, I don't want to do that moment. It's the moment of, God, you're calling me to a higher standard of love than I think I'm capable of. It's even harder when you don't like the person to say, yeah, I'm going to go remind them that they are loved by God. It's like when somebody invites you to a party. No, I have plans that night. But you didn't. I don't do that. But really, this is the greatest party possible, to get up, go, tell people about Jesus. I mean, this is why you're here, isn't it? That you love God, what he's done for you. Can you let that love spill out so generously to people who are so far from God that this would be the only hope they find? I mean, what if it's possible that God is calling you to be his ambassador of love, not somebody else, not somewhere else, but right here in your neighborhood, right here in your workplace, right here in this church. Remember, there are people who do not have people. But you could be that person. I could be that person. I mean, think about it. When your friend's marriage falls apart, is it a good response to say, hey, I wish you well. Hope everything works out okay for you. Not really. I mean, the last thing they want is somebody else to leave. They want you to be there. They want to know that you care. They want to know that they are loved simply for who they are, not what they've done, not what they haven't done. Can you get up, move into that mess, and be God's ambassador of love? When someone goes through a financial crisis, do you just say, well, that stinks? But I'll think about it. I'll think about how terrible that is for you. No, it's get up, it's go, it's help them. There is no debt level too big that you cannot get out of. There is no way you will be left alone in this. Whatever it is, that person wants to know that you are there, that somebody is there. When that addiction for somebody else rears its ugly head, and it's not the first time, it's not the second time, it's not the third time. This is like 3 years down the road, and there's still no sign of it getting any better. Do you think that it's appropriate to just step out and say, you deal with it? Why don't you handle it? Or can you just say, listen, I don't know that I have an answer, but I'm going to love you because nobody else wants to. Don't say that part, but listen, that's what's going on inside. I will love you. I will love you, and I will not give up on you. This is the call of Jonah. This is the call of you. Remind that person they are not alone. And the real question is, would you get up, go, and walk into somebody else's mess, not just your own? And the question is, why would you do this? It's simple, because God's done it for you. I mean, think about that. God has done this for each and every one of us, and if we haven't experienced it yet, know for a fact that he does this for people. He does this every single day. In fact, he did it in the ultimate way when he hung on that cross, and he said, listen, you're in a mess so big, the entire created order, not just you, but all of you. He said, you can't get out of it, and thank God that he did not just think about it, but he said, I'm going to do something about it. He said, I will come from the highest heights. I will come down from the throne of heaven, and I will sweep into this world, and I will love you, and I will bring my goodness to you, and I will bring forgiveness to you, and all will be well. People, we want hope. That is hope right there. So please, 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 if you've loved God and experienced the love of God, for the love of God, would you bring that to somebody else? It's not just for us to sit on, have bottled up. It's about us getting up, moving into that mess, and saying, I will love you, and I don't know necessarily what that looks like, but you will know you are not alone. You will know that there is a God who loves you, who cares about you, just like he does for me. And that is the most beautiful image of love in the entirety of the Bible. And it's found right here in Jonah. This is a calling for everybody, not just Jonah, son of Amittai. It is for Anthony, son of Gary. It is for you, son or daughter of whoever, to not just think something, but to do something. So this morning I ask, what is that one mess you need to move towards, that you need to get up, go, and bring the love of God? It's time for us to do something. And I know some of you here this morning, you're like, yeah, I do this sort of thing. And I just want to encourage you, keep doing that. Because that is exactly what this world needs. We have the only message of hope that has eternal consequences. I mean, continue to be that ambassador of love. And some of you, this might be a morning where you're like, this is a wake-up call. I've been given much, and to much who has been given, much will be asked. What's that one mess that you know of, that you're not in, that you've been thinking about, that you can move towards? If you don't know what that mess is, we have this team here called the City Impact Team. They can hook you up with something. There is a lot of mess in this city, and we want to be ambassadors of grace, of hope, of peace. And if you're curious about that, head over to myfcn.church. You can find all sorts of opportunities there to be that person who brings the good news of Jesus into somebody's life and helps turn things around. So I want to encourage you to be thinking about that. And in the week ahead, think of just one. I don't want you chewing off 5, 10, 20. You're going to burn out real fast when you do that, and you're going to be gung-ho. Take one. Because goodness knows we've got enough mess of our own. But is there one? Just one. Just let somebody know that there's somebody there for them. And so I want to pray a blessing on all of us as we find those, as we seek those out, and as we bring God's good news to people. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your work on the cross, for coming from the highest of heights. Thank you for not thinking simply that something should be different, but for doing something. And God, as you have given us much, we want to give much back. We want to extend that. We want to be people who have compassion just filling ourselves and spilling out. That we know that we are yours, that we can never be cut off from you, that we will always rest in you, and that we can bring that to people near, far, and all over this globe. So God, change us as a church, change us as individuals, and may we be your good news in this world, the light of hope in a world that needs it. And so, God, I pray for sustenance, I pray for energy, I pray for compassion, and I pray for solidarity amongst all of us. And I ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Go in peace.